I wish to get the reporting from the chimney other than the apologies, Mayor Madloni, Chief of the Metro.
Thank you, Speaker, and apologies for Mr. Jacques Junior.
That's noted, Mayor Chief.
Thank you, Speaker. Apologies for Honourable Tombo.
Apology noted. Those are the three apologies that you can do. Yes, Mr. Frolic is abroad. Thank you very much. Those are the apologies, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members that we have. Can I put the agenda for your consideration? Any takers? Madam Adonis?
Speaker, I move for the adoption.
Thank you, ma'am. Any seconder? Chief with second. And seconded by the honorable Mwanishi. We go for the consideration of the draft minutes of the 10th of September. Did all members get the copies of the minutes?
Yes.
Can I then take you page by page? Page one. I don't have my hand. Page two. Mr. Mabanisha.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. On paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where it says Mr. Highlighted, I think it meant to be Mr. Castle Highlighted.
Yes,
sir.
It means you got the unrevised version. Mm-hmm. We apologize for that. We thank you for noting that too. Any other matter on the second page, honorable members? None. Can I take you to page three? Page three. I don't have anything. I'm taking you to page four. You're still happy? And page five. You're okay. Page six. You are okay. Page seven. Can I then take you to the minute with the point raised earlier by Ntatima Gwanishe, who had not received the revised version, that the minutes do reflect what we deliberated on the 10th of September 2019, and do I have a hand for the adoption, Chief Whip of the Majority Party, any hand seconding, and I think it's Randy Ocha. Is there any matter arising from this minute? Floor is open. Very good. None arising. We then move on to the fifth item, the report from the subcommittee on the review of the rules of the assembly. Deputy Chief, to you. Take the floor.
Thanks, Honorable Speaker. Good morning, Honorable Members. As the subcommittee on rules, you were given a task by the Rules Committee, which sat on the 10th of September to deliberate on various rules amendments. We therefore had our own meeting, which dealt with the sequence of proceedings and member statements, determination of ministerial responses, rules concerning the removal of office bearers in institutions supporting democracy, the Chapter 9 institution, procedure for motions without notice, and time allocation for declaration. The subcommittee, Honorable Speaker, met on the 20th of September and the 18th of October, and the last meeting was on the 9th of, on the 8th of November. Fortunately, we had members who were very consistent and who were very consistent in attending the committee, the subcommittee meetings, And we were always reminded that the subcommittee doesn't take any decisions. Hence, we have this report to take before the Rules Committee. So the order of proceedings and member statement, Honorable Speaker, Rules 132 provide an opportunity for members to make statements in the House and for members of the executive to respond to those statements. In terms of Rule 47, the sequence of proceedings for member statements are scheduled after motions without notice. Over time, we remember those who were here in the previous term that before the rules were amended in the last term, we used to have the motions and motions without notice, motions, statements and motions, and notices of motion before any order of the House. We then, during the process of amending the rules, we decided to take that to the last part of, to the last, to be on the last part of the House order. The sequence to be the last on the order paper. So this has created a lot of problems. So what we did now is afforded the opportunity by the Rules Committee to look into the matter. We are then saying that we are recommending to this Rules Committee to amend this member statement, that we schedule the member statements on the order paper before the executive statement. Then, with reference to the above, the subcommittee recommends the amendment to the Assembly Rules 47 as follows: sequence of proceedings. Then it will be as shown on the report. I don't know whether I should go through that, Honourable Speaker. It will be the opportunity for silent prayer or meditation, then announcements from the chair or the speaker, swearing in of new members if there are, if there will be any, then formal motions moved by the chief whip. Those motions we know which are always on the order paper. Then, when scheduled by the program committee, opportunity for statements and by members and responses to statements by cabinet members, statements by cabinet members and orders of the day and notices of motion on the order paper, which must be dealt with in sequence, provided that the precedence must be given to the questions on the session day, subject to sub-rule 1, and unless altered by resolution of the House, the business of any sitting day of the House may additionally include any events below after the business under sub-rule 1 has been completed, and if included during any sitting must follow the following sequence or events. Any other formal motions, motions without notice, opportunity for statements by members and responses to statements by cabinet members, then notices of motions and petitions. Then we also dealt with the issue of determination of ministerial responses to member statements. Currently, the rules provide that ministerial responses is six. We have six ministerial responses to member statements. Then the proposal that we are making is that we add one ministerial response to make the responses seven ministerial responses. We currently have six. So given the number of statements made by members, we say we are proposing that we add one to make the members the ministerial responses seven, given also the fact that we have 14 political parties in the House. Then we dealt also with Section 194, Subsection 1 of the Constitution, which is the committee of the Constitution of 1996, states that the office bearers and commissioners in institutions supporting constitutional democracy, the Chapter 9 institutions, may remove from office on specific grounds. The grounds are provided for, but in the Constitution and our current rules, there are no mechanisms on how to remove an office bearer or a commissioner office bearer of a Chapter 9 institution or institution supporting democracy. So what we dealt with in the subcommittee was with the assistance, of course, of the Parliamentary Legal Services and the NA Parliamentary staff members. We dealt with the definitions. So they came back in our next meeting, then we said no, they must go and tighten the definitions up so that it sends the constitutional master. So here we have the definitions of the ground that are provided for the removal of the office bearer, which is the incapacity, is defined as incapacity includes, okay, holder of a public office means a person appointed in terms of Chapter 9 Constitution of the Chapter 9 of the Constitution. Then incapacity includes a permanent or temporary condition that impairs a holder of a public office ability to perform his or her work and any legal impairment to employment. Then the other ground for removal is incompetence. In relation to the holder of public office includes a demonstrated and sustained lack of knowledge to carry out and ability or skill to perform his or her duties effectively and efficiently. Then a member of a commission means a member of a commission established under the Chapter 9 of the Constitution. Then the other ground is misconduct, which means the intentional or gross negligence, failure to meet the standard of behavior or conduct expected of a holder of public office. And in Section 194 inquiry means an inquiry by the assembly to remove the holder of a public office in terms of 194 of the Constitution and our rules. Then, Honorable Speaker, if I may also inform the meeting that a letter was referred to us from the Speaker's office, which was written by AUCHA. They wanted to be part of the parliamentary proceedings in this regard of a in this chapter section 194 inquiry. So as the subcommittee, we rejected it. We noted the letter, but we said we cannot outsource the responsibility of members of parliament in executing their duties. So that is what we did in the committee, Honorable Speaker. Then the initiation of section 194 of inquiry, Honorable Speaker, we agreed that 129R, the initiation of section 194 inquiry, any member of the assembly by way of a notice of a substantive motion in terms of rule 124 subsection 6 can initiate proceedings for a section 194 subsection 1 inquiry, provided that the motion must be limited to a clearly formulated and substantiated charge on the grounds specified in section 194, which must prima facie show the holder of the public office committed misconduct, is incapacitated or is incompetent. The charge must relate to an action performed or conduct ascribed to the holder of the public office in person. All evidence relied upon in support of the motion must be attached to the motion, and the motion is consistent with the Constitution, the law, and these rules. For the purposes of proceedings in terms of section 194 subsection 1, the term charge must be understood as the grounds for arguing the removal from office of the holder of public office. Compliance with the criteria. Honorable Speaker, once a member has given notice of a motion to initiate proceedings in terms of section 194 inquiry, the Speaker may consult the member to ensure the motion is compliant with the criteria set out in this room. So I'm sure we are all in understanding, Honorable Speaker, that we don't come, a member, if they want to initiate this process, they cannot just sit down and come back. They must, everything must be attached on this, on the fact must be attached on the motion. Honorable Speaker, then the referral of the motion, when the motion is in order, the Speaker must immediately refer the motion and any supporting documentation provided by the member to an independent panel appointed by the Speaker for a preliminary assessment of the matter and inform the Assembly and the President of such referral without a delay. Honorable Speaker, we are proposing that for the process to be fair, a panel must be appointed by the Speaker to remove any political issues or anything that might cause the process to be, might cause the process not to be fair from the Honorable Speaker's table. So we are proposing that a panel must be appointed, a panel with the relevant expertise to deal with the matter before it. So the Speaker must, when required, establish an independent panel to conduct any preliminary inquiry on a motion initiated in terms of Section 194 inquiry. So the panel should also be guided, if I'm correct, our members whom we sit with in the committee will also add if there is something. The panel must be guided not to to start an inquiry. Theirs is to make sure that they establish whether there is evidence, prima facie evidence or not. So after that, the panel must consist of three fit and proper South African citizens, which may include a judge, and who collectively possesses the necessary legal and other competences and experience to conduct such an assessment. The Speaker must appoint the panel after giving political parties represented in the National Assembly a reasonable opportunity to put forward nominees for consideration for panel. And after the Speaker has given due consideration to all persons so nominated, and if a judge is appointed to the panel, the Speaker must do so in consultation with the Chief Justice. Honorable Speaker, on the chairperson of the panel, the Speaker must appoint one of the panelists as chairperson of the panel. Functions and powers of the panel. The panel must be independent and subjected only to the Constitution, the law and these rules, which it must apply impartially and without fear, favor, or prejudice, must within 30 days of its appointment conduct and finalize a preliminary assessment relating to the motion proposing a Section 19 inquiry to determine whether there is prima facie evidence to show that the holder of a public office committed misconduct, is incapacitated or is incompetent. And in considering the matter, may in its sole discretion afford any member an opportunity to place relevant written or recorded information before it within a specific time frame, must without delay provide the holder of a public office with copies of all information available to the panel relating to the assessment, must provide the holder of the public office with a reasonable opportunity to respond in writing to all relevant allegations about against him or her, must not hold oral hearings, and must limit its assessment to the relevant written and recorded information placed before it or by the holder of a public office in terms of the rule, and must include in its report any recommendations, including the reasons for such recommendations, as well as any minority view of any panel. This is the function of the panel, of the panel, Honorable Speaker. The panel may determine its own working arrangements strictly within the parameters of the procedures provided for in this rule. The quorum of the panel, Honorable Speaker, the panel may proceed with its business when the chairperson and one other panelist is present. So there's no need for all three of them to be there, only two, the chairperson and one member. Consideration of panel recommendations. Once the panel has made its recommendation, Honorable Speaker, to the Speaker, once the panel made its recommendation, the Speaker must schedule the recommendations for consideration by the Assembly with due urgency given the problem of the Assembly. In the event the Assembly resolves that a Section 194 inquiry be proceeded with, the matter must be referred to a committee for a formal inquiry. The Speaker must inform the President of any action or decision emanating from the recommendation. The committee for Section 194 inquiry. There is a committee to consider motions initiated in terms of Section 194 and referred to it. Composition and appointment of the committee. The committee consists of a number of assembly members that the Speaker may determine, subject to the provision of Rule 154. Notwithstanding Rule 155, Section 2, the members of the committee must be appointed as and when necessary. The chairperson. The committee must elect one of its members as chairperson according to our current rules. So that is what we do, Honorable Speaker, except for one committee which the chairperson is not appointed by members of the committee. Functions and powers of the committee. The committee must, when the Assembly has approved the recommendation of the independent panel in terms of Rule 129Z, proceed to conduct an inquiry and establish the veracity of the charges and report to the National Assembly thereon. The committee must ensure that the inquiry is conducted in a reasonable and procedural fair manner within a reasonable time frame. The committee must afford the holder of a public office the right to be heard in his or her own defense and to be assisted by a legal practitioner or other expert of his or her choice, provided that the legal practitioner or other expert may not participate in the committee. So a legal representation or a practitioner is allowed to represent the member, but that legal practitioner or expert will not be allowed to speak in the committee. So he can sit behind the person representing and send notes that will be allowed, but will not speak. He or she will not speak in the committee. For the purposes of performing its function, the committee has all power in the Constitution, applicable law, and these rules. Decision. A question before the committee is decided when a quorum in terms of rule 162 subsection 2 is present and there is agreement among the majority of the members present, provided that when the committee reports all views, including minority views expressed in the committee, must be included in its report. Report to the National Assembly. The report of the committee must contain findings and recommendations, including reasons for such findings and recommendations. The report must be scheduled for consideration and debate by the Assembly with due agency, given the program of the Assembly. If the report recommends that the holder of the public office be removed from office, the question must be put to the Assembly directly for a vote in terms of the rules. And if the required majority of the members support the question, the Assembly must convey the decision to the President. So, Honorable Speaker, this is the report of the subcommittee on rules. So at present, on the consequential amendments, Honorable Speaker, at present, Rule 88 provides that no member may reflect on the competence or integrity of the holder of the public office in a state institution supporting constitutional democracy, whose removal from such office is dependent upon a decision of the House, except upon a motion which, if true, would be the opinion of the Speaker, prima facie, warrant such a decision, given the proposed rules 129R to 129AF. However, Rule 88 could be amended as follows. Rule 88, reflection upon judges and certain other holders of public office. No member may reflect on the competence or integrity of a judge of the Superior Court, the holder of a public office in a state institution supporting constitutional democracy referred to in section 194 of the Constitution, or any other holder of an office other than a member of the government, whose removal from office is dependent upon a decision of the House, except upon a separate substantive motion in a House presenting clearly formulated and properly substantiated charges, which, if true, would, in the opinion of the Speaker, from a facie, warrant such a decision. Declaration of vote and motions without notice. The Rules Committee also mandated the subcommittee to examine the time allocations for declaration of vote and the procedure for motions without notice. Concerning motions, there was a view that the procedure required scrutiny in order to safeguard the mechanism. The subcommittee considered proposals in this regard, but agreed that parties should further caucus on the options. Consequently, a decision on these matters was deferred. Honorable Speaker, this is the report from the subcommittee on votes.
Thank you very much. We all have copies in front of us. Can we go back to the discussion page by page? The subcommittee recommends that we relook at Rule 132. We amend the member statement. Is there agreement on this amendment that is proposed by the subcommittee? Honorable Hendricks?
No.
Oh, hello. This is a belated hello, but hello. Let me start with the Honorable Wen, and then Chief will present the Chief. In that order, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Honorable members, I think I agree with the way the proposal is put. But just to request that, as the process, I mean, the requirements stipulate for this process, we have had to postpone the activities related to this for the first two other meetings. And because ministers were not in the house, and I think that, you know, we should do a lot of enforcement on that matter to make sure that they are there, because otherwise it says no business to have the items there and people are supposed to engage on them, they are not there. And in fact it's an embarrassment to members or even to the house. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairman.
Honorable Speaker, and not on page one, because I forgot to mention something that we worked very well in the subcommittee and we agreed on almost everything, Honorable Speaker. I forgot to say that, to mention that, and also to thank the members of the subcommittee, including the opposition members.
Well, they are members of the subcommittee. The Honorable Brother.
Thank you, Speaker. Speaker, as I agree with the proposals made for the amendment, I just want to say that the issue of clusters also is something that we should look into, because I realize that the question, the statements have to be done in clusters, but the statements that come do not go according to the clusters. That is just something that we need to work on, the Chief is maybe talk to their members about.
Well, Chief, you are here. Are we in agreement?
Yeah.
We're in agreement, so we agree to the first recommendation. And we agree to the sequencing as proposed on page 2. We also agree that there are no longer 6 but 7. We agree to the proposals which are put in front of us on the removal from office of a holder of public office in an institute supporting constitutional democracy.
I'm still on page 2.
On page 2 of
the committee. I agree with 6 to 7 to add 1, but I want to several comments to add 1 minute. The response time is 2 minutes, so I'm recommending that we add 1 to 3 minutes so that we get a response that is complete.
The 1 minute is added to the response.
Yes.
Okay. Are we agreeing around the table? 100% in agreement. Ma'am?
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker. Mine is on page 3. What I'd like to know from a further explanation on incapacity. It is saying that contain a permanent or temporary condition that in terms of a holder of a public office space. Will there be any specification it was saying his temporary condition is this? In terms of our just take an example. Will she be he or she be given key performance areas whereby they, at the end of the day will be able to say she or he did not perform anything? What is the specific matter that will be looked at and inform that there is no capacity in this office? I don't know whether that it will need a separate table to give it details. If we mean incapacity, what is it that we mean? What will inform the incapacity part of it? The state table is incompetent. It is written only here, no need to carry out. and ability or skills to perform, a lack of what will inform that. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yes, thank you. You asked me, both in the subcommittee, listening very carefully, Member Dunn.
The subcommittee did look quite a lot at what incapacity and what incompetence would be, and we got advice from the State Law Advisor, which helped us tremendously in obtaining our answers to these questions. But, Chair, obviously, each case that we looked at, for example, incompetence, if it was the knowledge to carry out, when someone makes the complaint, part of their submission to your speaker in their bundle document would be having to prove prima facie what the lack of knowledge is. You couldn't just say, I don't think Mr. Hill-Lewis understands the rules of Parliament. I would have to prove to you in my submission already why I think he didn't know it. So that's pretty much how you do the incompetence. The incapacity is a little bit more interesting because it's something that impairs someone. It stops them being able to execute their duty, not of their own accord. So in many instances, that's why later on we decided not to have a judge. We said there may be a judge. Because, for example, someone could have been in a car accident and they find themselves in a coma. So in a case of a coma, it would be a medical doctor who just determined the incapacity. And a judge wouldn't be necessary to come in and prove the incapacity. So all of these definitions exist in law that we can always refer back to, and guide, the law can guide us there. But that is why the submission to you, Speaker, initially when someone makes a complaint, is going to have to be of such a nature that it proves what you are alleging. So when it comes to you, the proof is already there. So you will know whether it's, as the, to coin a phrase used by the Deputy Chief of the Majority Party, whether it's some facts or not. So no one's going to just willy-nilly going to be able to give you something without a lot of evidence backing up their claim.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, Speaker. So the committee decided not to put examples on the format of the window. Okay.
No, I think one of the things we must consider is actually that those that first select, right at the beginning, at entry, that is where your competence, your capacity levels, your KPs must be determined. So that you don't open the gate wide open, and later on you come back and you say, but so-and-so is incompetent. So we need to be doing something as committees of parliament at entry to make sure that, in fact, you can come up with candidates in all that in fact we have made sure that we have competent and capable people into the institutions, and you don't want to worry about that at the exit level, so that you don't actually bring them in there. So I think that one of the first things that we need to be strengthening is entry interviews. I've watched some interviews by committees of parliament, and I'm thinking maybe we need to do something there about tightening the panels of parliament itself, to go for competency, to go for capacity, to understand when people are just nervous and they make mistakes. That is something else. But I think that which the member is asking about is something that we must determine right at entry. Is there any other response to the honourable member? Are we happy with the responses that we have received so that we can proceed? Can we proceed? Page 3. Any other matter on the third page? We are happy with the definitions. Can I take you to page 4? We are in agreement with the recommendations of the subcommittee. And on page 5, we are also agreeing All heads are nodding. May they continue to note, as the Christians would say. We go to page 6. Yes, ma'am, you're on the floor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker. I would like to ask you to clarify on C1234. C4, yeah, for he or she must not hold oral hearings and must limit his assessment to the relevant written and reported information which he offers by members or by the school of public. Is there any reason for that? Not to have either the oral hearing? Specific reason.
Deputy Chairman?
Thanks, Honorable Speaker. Here we are talking about the panel. It's a panel. So the inquiry, the public hearings or whatever will be done by the Section 194 Committee. So the panel for them is to assess the existence and non-existence of evidence.
Okay. Satisfied? Any other matter on page 6? None? Page 7? Oh, Mr. Wells, I'm sorry, sir. Page 6.
Thanks, I'll just wake up. Under establishment on page 6,
okay.
The sentence there is a comment to consider motions initiated, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm under the impression that because this sentence must read there shall be a comment. But it sounds like this comment already exists.
No,
so,
there is people who. They are actually telling us that there shall be a committee, you have no option, but you shall establish a section 194. But please explain yourself, subcommittee. Mr. Council.
Well, I think the point is that once these rules are adopted, then this committee will be in existence. The only difference is that we will only constitute it as and when they choose to do. So the structure will be there. So the rules create the committee once they're together in the House. Hence, we face this matter.
Should we assume that the panel may change from time to time? Mayor Rota?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to speak to it on page 7, is that we don't have anything that shows the lifespan of this
committee.
I think it should be in black and white to say it will be the life back and the work of the committee is done.
There are basically two issues. The panel itself, I think it was 30 days within which to do its work. The panel. Now this is a panel of three attendees. The committee will be for the duration of the parliament. In terms of constituting it.
Yes,
the permanent committee.
Oh.
The permanent committee.
Oh.
But the membership, the warm body, will be placed there as and when there's a case to meet. In other words, we won't have members just being there doing nothing.
Yeah.
So when there's a case to deal with, the speaker will then invite parties to submit names. And then the members will deal with the matter, but the structure itself will remain there.
Are we satisfied, Member Roth?
No, I was just saying maybe it's necessary that comes
that is time
because they are parties may say no, we did send members, why are we asked again?
Mm.
So that it just be in the protection.
Okay, is that important?
Thanks, Honorable Speaker. I agree with the Honorable Borato because the you know, so these three members are talking about to serve, if we make them permanent, it might happen that a matter touches a certain member. So it's, I get the explanation from Mr. Sasso that it's a committee that is permanently there for the duration of that particular year, but members themselves are not permanently appointed. But then the suggestion that they have something that covers the concern by Honorable Board, I think we should consider that.
Okay.
Now that I've recorded it.
Okay. As I understand it, your comments are these independent people who are time bound. They must look at what is put in front of them, and on the basis of what is in front of them, they must say whether or not. If they hear it right there, there is no need to go to the Section 194. But if they say there is a definite case, please, and just on the basis of this, you then invoke the full committee, which is composed by the members who have been put on the list by different parties, and they come together. Now, the committee itself may change colors, but you have a committee. So anytime any matter of any institution comes in, names are put forward. So you do not have permanency in the sense that Tandi will permanently sit, and therefore Tandi can be permanently lobbied. That won't happen. Yeah. So, Madam Chair,
the Honourable Solution pointed out 129 AB 2, as she says, notwithstanding Rule 125, the members of the committee must be appointed as and when necessary.
Mm.
So I think that
covers it. Thank you. Honourable members, yes, ma'am, Chair.
Make a job.
You are on page 7.
Yes, Mr. Spahn, really, I don't know where I am, but it's about the issue of the president. If you may just close that or don't forget it, because I want you to bring it to the attention of the mission and respond to questions.
Over the response to questions,
yes.
Okay. Let's note it when we have done with this one. We can then come back to that one. Members, can I take you down to page 8? We are okay? Yes, sir.
Consequential amendment. The point there is that the current rule, page 8, places the responsibility on the speaker to deal with the issue of prima facie evidence. And this rule changes that, the new rule, because it's now going to be the panel that does. So it was therefore only logical that rule 88 be the consequence of that. So that's really the answer.
Honourable members, are we agreeing that rule 88 must be amended? Thank you very much. Have we covered all the areas we wanted to ask questions in? If we are satisfied, can we then adopt the recommendations of the subcommittee? Kilahakuleo Chief Whip Maboroto is seconding. Any further? Seconded by Lima. The women have it. Can we now come back to the issue raised by the Chief Whip of the majority? Especially by saying you don't know where you are about. You have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Honourable Speaker, every time we are to engage the people president on questions, we always ask if it's necessary that he comes monthly, bi-monthly, quarterly. So I want to make a firm proposal that we refer this matter to be looked at based on the recommendations that have been coming from different political parties. That matter will refer to the subcommittee.
Is there agreement around the table that we refer that matter to the subcommittee on rules?
Honor,
yes. Let us understand. Alexander in. Feminist, doctor?
I can't believe the consent of this morning.
It's deserved.
It's a question. It does wonders to democracy. Honorable members,
I'm just to say that this rule is only become effective once agreed to by the House.
Yes. Okay, can we help the chief with conferring so that it will really need to get cracking by the first week when we come back next year, we can get cracking. And therefore, can we ask that the chief with forum you host raise and we agree on a date before we close? You will come back to us on that. Thank you very much. And therefore, that is it.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to read the committee and I can say the audit committee, but so correct me if I'm wrong. Point number 9 in the minutes says that the subcommittee was going to consider the just subjudicare rule, but it's not in the subcommittee reports. I just want to understand why it wasn't dealt with by the subcommittee.
Ma'am, the range of issues before the subcommittee. My understanding that the subcommittee decided to cut high this matter, the amendments, before it gets to the argument. But the chair of the subcommittee.
Chair of the subcommittee also has in caucuses. We refer to some matters to press conferences to be very better before those matters can be dealt with. Like your notices of motions, your motions. Your motions without notice. So we have a lot on our plate.
The next meeting of the subcommittee will then make a recommendation to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. May I then let you go in peace?
Thank you.
Thank you.